This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Wednesday, and you know what that means. It's time for the Wrestling Inc. AEW Dynamite After Show, and have we got a show for you. Darby Allin returns. Mercedes Moné goes through a table, and did they throw shade at Jimmy Corderas? We'll talk about it later on in the show, but before that, let me introduce the crew. I'm Jack Farmer, being joined by George Hermosa, reading it looks like a more current magazine coming there. And look at that shirt. Yes, Jack Farmer
like it.
Merch, which is available. You can get at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. You can represent the yes on your chest. That's what we like to see. George, you know, Jimmy, I'm sorry, Jimmy. I love you, but I'm going to put over George for the next
No, minute. You got to. You got to.
That's right, folks. You can get your very own Jack Farmer t-shirt with "Ah Yes" written across the front, a picture of your boy, Jay Farm, and you can get the at Real Jack Farmer. Hit me up, everybody. I see you in the chat. George Hermosa, how are you doing, fella?
I'm doing good. It's hard to kind of keep my face in the shot and your shirt in the shot, so it's going to be a lot of this today.
Well, it's, I think my shirt and my, I think if we give the viewers my face twice, that's the true gift here. But Jimmy, how I owe you one, George. Thank you so much. Jimmy, how are you doing today?
I feel bad that I don't have an yes shirt. That's
I got a send you
ended
one.
I ended up wearing this, and now I feel bad.
By the way, yes, not to be confused with, oh, yes.
Oh, I like the Paul Bearer.
That's how that's how you got to do it. You take what someone else did, and you slightly modify it, and then make it your own. The Job Squad shirt, by the way, though, Leonard Jones says Job Squad jersey is excellent. We also got Sean saying the Job Squad shirt is over. I mean, come on. You're
pin me, pay me.
You know, I'm a little frustrated that you guys, chat, you've got someone who's here trying to pitch their own merch, and you're putting over the old merch. I feel betrayed by all of you. I don't blame you all, but I feel betrayed. Of course, we got our lurkers here.
Yes.
So good to see you all. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on in the world of pro wrestling. Now, I'm going to warn you all, everyone who's watching, everyone who's listening, I'm going to say exactly what I told the guys before we went live. Usually, I go through my notes once or twice and put things in order and make sure I know what's going on. Not today. I just word vomited my notes, and we're going to see how this goes. We're going to start with some news, though.
Call it out there, brother.
That's not going to work for me, brother. We got two stories that sort of go back to back. First, it is an update on the AEW Warner Brothers Discovery relationship ahead of the upfronts. There was no expectation of an update on the TV rights deal to be delivered today at the Warner Brothers Discovery upfronts. The current AEW TV deal ends in December. Per Fightful Select, the deal between Warner Brothers and AEW is believed to be held, quote, very close to the vest, with a summer or fall 2024 being the likely time frame for an official announcement. Also, and we'll talk about both of them together because why not, AEW is debuting a new series, which we saw a little bit of on AEW Tonight, that it's going to be Meal and a Match, and it's going to have Renee Paquette and RJ City. Looks like there's going to be a guest where they watch match and have a meal. Jimmy, this is one of those things, if you're the casual fan, as we say, mm-hmm. probably don't even know this is going on. But if you're one of us and you're in the weeds, mm-hmm. this is probably one of the most important times in the history of AEW for AEW.
Absolutely. This is very important because their next television deal will set the tone for their next couple of years going forward. And they've got a great TV deal right now. They're on Turner Broadcasting Networks, which is a very good cable network. I understand being here in Canada, it's a little different, but, you know, so, but that's a good platform for them. And right now what that platform is going to be going forward, I'm kind of, with Max, I don't know what that's going to entail. Is that going to be more of a pay-per-view platform? Is that going to be a streaming service? Is that going to be stuff on their television platform? It's a wait and see thing, but mm-hmm. any deal that they can get done sooner rather than later will be a plus for them because they need to stay on television. They need to stay on a platform that is somewhere where people can access them. And that's good going forward for them. And I know everybody's talking about the deal that WWE made moving to Netflix. Is that something they're going to look into going into the future as well? There's a lot of things in play right now, so it's going to be very interesting to see when this deal gets announced exactly what it entails.
Yeah, George, going to a streaming service clearly is the future. At some point, that's where everything's going to be. But I would imagine AEW sort of in a situation where they, like, you want to jump, but you don't want to jump too soon. You know what I mean? You want to wait, like, you want to basically squeeze broadcast TV dry before you make the jump over. Do you think that now's the time to make that jump to a streaming service?
I don't think so at the moment, even though it is the future. I think they got to get their foot settled enough on, you know, regular TV. I know there's a lot of old school people still out there that maybe don't really have the capabilities to do internet just right now. I know me personally, I was always big on if it's on the TV and it's wrestling, I'm going to watch it. Unfortunately, that's why I haven't really caught up with like NWA or some of the other streaming things that are out there, just because I don't want to have to worry about the buffering and I want to have to worry about the, is my internet good today? I got to worry about, oh, I have the internet streaming on. That means I got to turn something else off because it's going to clog up the internet stuff. So, you know, it's got its pros and cons. I feel like it's AEW. They need to kind of get that Turner, that Warner, or whatever, you know, the what are the Warner Media?
Warner Brothers Discovery.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of synergy left there that they should be taking advantage of if they have the opportunity to. I might be a little too soon for the having Dynamite exclusively on Max. Maybe the pay-per-views. I don't know if it's a profitability for them or not, just for them to keep going on pay-per-view, especially since WWE has kind of set the tone for having monthly PLEs at like, what is it, $5-6 a month on Peacock. And it's been like that for a while, even dating back to WWE Network for $9.99. You know, yeah, I mean, like I said, some people don't have an issue. Some people do. So I feel like they really need to kind of focus on getting, you know, now that WWE is kind of stepping away from that, I feel like there's an opportunity for AEW to kind of enter and really take over the cable market.
I'm a big, I can see why someone want to stay on cable mm-hmm. because there's still a lot of people watching. I agree with you, George, but at the same time, I'm very much a fan of streaming. I would love for it to just be on Max or on a streaming service so that I could just, so I get rid of Sling. I have Sling. Sorry, Sling. I want to get rid of you. I want to cut you, Sling, and remove you and just move on to my streaming services that I already have. But Jenny, I think George hit the nail on the head for a lot of people. I think a struggle for a lot of AEW fans. I think for AEW in general, I mean, I'm sure they love the money, but paying that money for a pay-per-view regularly is now become something that is just tough. Back in the day, that's just what we expected, but now, every time a pay-per-view rolls around, I'm like, geez, I got like this is a lot. And if they want to add more, that could become a barrier to entry because I don't think people want to watch a show anymore if they're not going to get to see the thing you're building up to every 2 months.
Yeah, that's just a sign of the economic times. Everything is tight. Everything is so expensive now, increased in price, and people don't have that extra spare few dollars to pay for something like a $60 pay-per-view or whatever the price is, when you have someone like a WWE who set the tone with their WWE network originally, where everything was on there, it was accessible. Mm-hmm. You can just go there, you pay one monthly fee of $14.99, whatever it was, and you got a ton of wrestling and nothing but wrestling 24/7. If that's something they want to explore down in the future for AEW, maybe it's something they could look at. It's just a matter that their video library, I don't think, is as vast as WWE's. Look at WWE has, you know, they've got the a couple of decades head start on these guys. So, you know, maybe sticking to the streaming service and kind of like, if you want to follow a model, maybe like the Peacock model, where you're on that platform and you can get it for whatever it is a month. And, you know, you have levels too. Like Netflix has levels, do they not? Where you have the entry level where you're going to have commercials, then you have the higher tiers that won't have as many commercials in one tier that doesn't have any. Maybe that's another thing they could explore.
Yeah, I think what I love about the Netflix deal for WWE and for wrestling is it just makes it so easy to watch it at your own time too. Mm-hmm. I think in this day and age, people don't, even though I miss the days where we'd all be like, hey, we're all watching the same show, let's all tweet about it or whatever. That wasn't the old day. We didn't tweet about it, but you know what I mean? Like back in the old Attitude Era days where you'd call your friends, did you see what happened or whatever? I feel like we are moving to a time when you watch when you want to watch. And that I think would be good for AEW as well. Now, again, I don't know the pricing. Look, Tony Khan may be saying, Jack, we're making millions of dollars on these pay-per-views. And I'd go, okay. And I get it. I get where you're coming from. I'm just saying as a consumer, I don't like it. I wish it was easier for me. But George, let's have a little bit of fun. They're having a new show on. It's going to be meal and a match. What are some things you'd like to see? Let's say they did have a deal on Max where they got to have other shows on there, similar to WWE's docuseries and things. Would you like to see docuseries or maybe Ring of Honor or something totally different, more stuff like meal and a match? What would you like to see them do?
I would like to see a little bit more docuseries. There's a lot of life back there in AEW, but you never really see it because they're more focused on the wrestling part of a pro wrestling. So I feel like there's a lot left on the table in terms of, like, I want to know more about like Eddie Kingston. Obviously he talks about having a rough background. He talks about kind of growing up right there in New York. And I kind of want to see more of that. I want to see more of just people in general. So I feel like there's a lot of opportunity there to get, you know, the documentaries, even like some of these, the meal and the matches. I know it's going to be exclusively on like the internet, whatnot. But you know, it's a possibility to get creative out there, I think, is more important.
Yeah, Jimmy, I think there's a lot of opportunities they have if they were to add some different streaming options, TV shows. Would you like to see more of the, I guess, like All Access, the behind the scenes stuff, or would you rather see more like, if we're comparing to WWE stuff, like the Table for Three, where you have just people talking, or podcasts or things like that? Do you have anything you'd like to see AEW pull out if they were given more opportunities?
Now that you mentioned it, I do like that Table for Three idea, because you get some guys together and or gals together and they tell road stories. Mm-hmm. It's not like an interview thing. They're having a lot of fun, you know, talking about what back in my day, or do you remember this incident that happened here? And they all just have a good laugh about it. Very entertaining. I like the idea of this show, though, you know, the match and a meal, or meal and a match, whatever they're calling it, because RJ is a friend of mine, and I really am entertained by him. He's a funny, funny guy, and he's good off the cuff.
Yes.
Like, Evening at the Improv, that's him. Yes. He's perfect. And Renee is, I love her work. I got to work with her, and she's doing a great job. And I like having someone different every week and interacting with them and bringing something different to the table, the dinner table. So,
yeah.
But as far as other shows, the documentary series would be nice, getting a little background on stars that we don't get to see what their backgrounds are. We get to see them in the ring. Yeah. But I do like where this is going. I'd like to see more fun stuff too. I'm, you know, a little mishmash of everything.
Yeah, I think obviously any documentaries and stuff like that are going to be great. But yeah, I love Table for Three, by the way. That's everyone talks about like Dark Side of the Ring and those kind of things. Table for Three is my speed. I think those are fun. You get great stories. You get everything involved that you'd want.
Just from a personal standpoint, when I watch him with some of the guys that I got to work with, and they start on a story, and you know where I click, and I go, "Oh, I know where they're going with this one. This is going to be good." You know,
I saw one of the wisest things that anybody's ever said. I think it was William Regal. It was either William Regal that said it, or somebody said that William Regal taught them that, and they were saying that every few months, if you're a wrestler, especially in WWE or AEW, that you should be switching up your ring tights, the color of your tights, that way they have an opportunity to make a new action figure every couple months.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's very clever. We got, by the way, special shout out for NYC Demon Diva in the chat. Always good to see NYC Demon Diva rolling through. You know, she has a really fun watch along that you can check out during AEW. You can check out on her YouTube channel. So always good to see you, NYC Demon Diva. Issa, to those of us but yeah, I think a lot of fun stuff on there. Anything to help show people's personality. I feel like sometimes you get a little bit too much of the behind the scenes stuff. I don't want to see the behind the scenes stuff. I want to know who the people are, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely.
Now we had some news break, big news, and I can't wait to talk to you about this, Jimmy, specifically. AEW's Kyle O'Reilly was asked about his Canadian Mount Rushmore, and he said, quote, man, you don't want to leave anyone out. I'll say Bret Hart, Owen Hart, Adam Copeland, and Chris Jericho. I'd put Christian Cage on there as well if we could have five. You can't have five. That's the rules. Jimmy, as Canada's official representative, did Kyle O'Reilly get it right?
Well, first of all, before I do any list involving Canadians, guess what I got to put on? There we go. You got, if I'm the official representative, I got to make it official. So
you, anyway, you absolutely are.
But I can't read with these on. So anyways, I made a little list here. What I did was, to make it easier for me, I took out the guys who are currently working because their time will come. There are guys that should be on that list, but let them finish their careers before they get their faces carved on the mountain. But obviously, I think number one for me, Bret Hart. I think that's a no-brainer for any Canadian. Bret Hart, from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Number two, Roddy Piper. Because, you know, without Roddy Piper, the Hulkamania era does not happen. Because, as we always say, a good protagonist needs a good antagonist, and Roddy Piper was the best antagonist at that time, if not ever. Right. So he's there. One that's going to surprise a lot of people, Gene Kaniski. A lot may not be familiar with, but he was a big star. He was AWA champion. He was a big time, personality, especially here in Maple Leaf Wrestling territory, where I was with the Tunnies. He was a huge star in Canada for sure, and I will agree, Owen Hart, I know posthumously on that list, but wow, if he'd had more time, I hate to put it this way, and I hope it doesn't sound disrespectful, but if he had had more time, maybe he would have been number one on that list. He was that damn good.
Yeah. I've always heard someone mention, I can't remember who brought this up originally, but if you look at who was coming into the WWE kind of right after that and the people he would have gotten to work with and the kind of matches he probably could have had, do you think Piper's a really good one? Do you think Piper doesn't get mentioned in these lists very often because he was billed from Scotland?
I think it's because a lot of people didn't know he was Canadian.
Yeah.
They probably thought he was from Portland or something.
Well, and his character, he wore the kilt and everything else. Like, he didn't really. So do you think that's probably why he doesn't get mentioned as often in these kind of things?
If you're talking about a Canadian list, and I think he gets underlooked a lot of times as one of the greatest heels of all time, because he had a great turn and became such a great baby face at the end there. So I think that's another reason why he gets overlooked. But Piper is one of my favorites of all time.
I'm a little frustrated you missed this guy, Lance Storm, who is the greatest Canadian wrestler, and something.
He can be on your Mount Rushmore, Jack.
He's the four faces on my Mount Rushmore.
I love and I hate the Mount Rushmore conversations, because I feel like a lot of people getting confused in terms of, they think it's like the top four of all time, And I don't think so. Like, you know, you look at the Mount Rushmore and what those presidents represent. Those aren't the four, like, those kind of like the founding fathers, right? That's why I would have like a Stu Hart on it, a Bret Hart.
Yeah.
I'd have a, you know, sorry to break Jimmy's rule, but I'd have Chris Jericho on it. But I'd have somebody that kind of represents that French Canadian. I can't really think of anything else, anyone else, aside from like a, actually,
Mad Dog Vachon.
I wish I could, but I wasn't really too familiar with him as much as Jacques Rougeau. I think Jacques Rougeau is one of those hidden gems in terms of first off, one of the best theme songs.
I'm the Mountie.
But I was going to say, even before that, I was a big Fabulous Rougeau Brothers theme song. I think they were great. One of the classics. Yeah, they were great. Him as the Mountie, him as a tag team wrestler with the Quebecers, him as a interviewee of Jack Farmers on the Wrestling Chatter. Mm-hmm. So he has, someone you can go in the archives? Is it go in the archives and watch that exclusive interview with Jacques Rougeau and Jack Farmer on the Wrestling Chatter YouTube channel. But yeah, that way you kind of have a little bit of everybody, you know?
Nelly Belly, you beat me to it. I was going to say my Mount Rushmore of Canadian wrestlers are going to be Lance Storm, Elix Skipper, Jim Duggan, and Mike Awesome from Team Canada.
No love for Major Guns?
I love that you said that. I literally, on the side now, was Googling, did Major Guns change her name when she went to Team Canada? I couldn't remember if she did one of those things where she was, because, you know, they changed names when they joined.
Pat Patterson.
Trish Stratus. Billy
Watson, Trish Stratus.
Oh, Trish would be
How could I mention? How could I not mention a great Canadian with this name, John Tolos, the Golden Greek?
Yes. Oh well. Yeah. Really? How could you not mention? Let us know in the chat and in the comments who you think goes on your Canadian Mount Rushmore. I don't know. I think we have some good ones here. This is gonna be a tough one. I think this question is going to show everyone's age based on who they pick. By the way.
One more I'm going to throw out there that for people who don't know that he's Canadian, possibly, is Abdullah the Butcher.
He's Canadian?
Ooh. Yes.
I didn't know he was Canadian. Like I knew Ivan Koloff wasn't Russian. That was one thing I learned like a few years ago. But I knew Abdullah wasn't from the Sudan, but I didn't know he was Canadian.
Yes, he's Canadian.
Laura Rock mentioning Rick Martel, my buddy.
Oh, the model.
Yeah, he was up there. It was between him and Jacques Rougeau for me.
Yeah. I have a buddy, whenever our fantasy football teams play against each other, the loser has to buy the other one a shirt. We don't know what the other person's going to get us. And he got me a picture, a shirt with just a big picture of Rick Martel on the front of it. It's great. It's totally a knockoff, but I love it. It looks awesome.
I'm still waiting for my bottle of arrogance to come to my house.
It's very arrogant for you to assume that's going to ever show up.
kind of like my check from Stanford. It's still waiting.
Yes, well, you might get it after tonight, I have a feeling. Fernando says Bret Hart, Jericho, Owen Hart, Kenny Omega. Let's chat about this episode of Dynamite. But of course, before we do, I want everyone to like, comment, share, subscribe, give us a 5-star review while you're at it. I am Air. Thanks for hanging out. We got Corey Pride, Blue Chew, Tommy O, Leonard Jones, Sean and Carrie Johnson, Joe C, Lurkin. The Lurkin King is on the scene. Max Feldman, Casey J, Fernando. Did I say Fernando already? Jay Willie said, I got to get me an Ah Yes shirt. That goes hard. Hey. Yes. Hit me up at Real Jack Farmer. I'm selling them. I got them for real here. Brian, I don't know how to say your last name, Brian. I apologize. Mayorga. We got Baxter in the chat, by the way. Good to see you. KOD, Chris Suarez, Laura Rock, King Kia. Can you read this one for? How do you pronounce his name, Jimmy?
Oh no!
Here. You say the first word, Jimmy. I'll say the second part, and then George, you say the third. Go.
Okay, Hugh
J.
Ness.
Yay! We got Mike Martin, of course, NYC Diva, Nelly Belly, Tuck Graff, Brad Price, Tommy. Oh, I said your name twice. Armando Gomez. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Day, by the way.
Starting early.
We're starting Jimmy early.
Yeah. I'm not a jobber. I'm enhancement talent. Get it right.
You got the shirt on. So that you're part of the squad. Let's talk about this event tonight. One that came to us from Everett, Washington, close to my hometown, but a town I despise. That's a very deep cut joke that no one's going to get, but whatever. John Moxley and Brian Danielson take on Kyle Fletcher and Jeff Cobb. They let Danielson's music play for a very long time before the match officially starts. Don Callis' family does a good job of staying in this thing, but eventually Blackpool Combat Club gets the win. Post-match, Takeshita attacks Moxley, but Cesaro chases them off. Cesaro, not Cesaro. Oh, my God, Cesaro. Claudio.
But you said it like, oh, Cesaro.
Because I was reading it, I was like, why does that not look right? And this is why I clean up my notes, folks. Claudio Castagnoli. He does the saving here. Jimmy, a hometown guy, Brian Danielson, hard-fought win in front of his hometown crowd. Probably not much here as far as story goes, but I think a good one for the fans.
No, it was an exciting opener. It got the night started off right. I like the idea of having two of the combatants already in the ring. Obviously, they missed their entrance music, which may make them boo-boo face to start the match, but it doesn't matter because there's a lot crammed into this show, so they needed to save some time somewhere. And, you know, John Moxley's entrance takes a while as well.
Yeah,
I thought it was interesting since they were taking on Blackpool Combat Club that they didn't have Moxley and Claudio as the tag team. And then when Takeshita runs in at the end, then have Bryan Danielson run out. Because Bryan Danielson's involved in the other story. But other than that, it was entertaining. It was fun. It did what it was supposed to do, get the crowd going and get the night started off with a bang.
Girl. I did. We'll talk about it in a little bit at the end of the show. But I do think Bryan Danielson's kind of in a weird place with like being part of that anarchy in the arena, but then also having Blackpool Combat Club business. I get why this one, I agree with this. Is totally, you want Bryan Danielson in front of the hometown crowd. So I kind of write it off and go, yeah, people there loved it.
But just a quick question. Would it have gotten a bigger pop if he ran out to make the save at the end or during the match? I think it would have got a bigger pop him coming out to make the save. That's me personally.
I think you're right. I think that's kind of what they were going for at the end, though, with Darby. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. But I guess something we'll probably talk about is someone always runs out. Who cares? George, I want your thoughts on this match. I also want your thoughts on Kyle Fletcher and his potential, as well as Jeff Cobb.
The match was fun. You know, it served its purpose. I was hoping they would cut off the music sooner because I think that is one of the worst entrance musics in all of pro wrestling. I think it's horrendous, to be honest with you. I'm sure I'm in the minority, but I hate it. It was even worse when the guy performed it live. And yeah, I'm sure it's expensive, but he's a billionaire. They need to go Final Countdown every single time. And that way I never have to hear that other version ever again. With that said, Kyle Fletcher, he's got potential, but it's a stop and start thing that kind of happens all in AEW, which I'm not going to get into because I'm just going to ramble on and on. I think he needs a better look, to be honest with you. Nobody's going to question his abilities in ring, but I feel like he needs a more of an identity. As far as I know, Kyle Fletcher is just another great wrestler full of a company that's full of them. So how are you going to stand out when everyone else is just as good as you are?
I think Fletcher has a very, very high ceiling. As far as the look thing goes, I think on its own, his look is fine, but the problem is, and maybe it's because of how he debuted, he looks too similar to Will Ospreay. And so to me, he always looks like Will Ospreay's like little brother. And so why do I want to see Will Ospreay's little brother when I can see Will Ospreay? I think the issue he's going to run into at some point.
It's just an instance of every compliment that I ever hear about Kyle Fletcher, I hear the same exact thing about a Daniel Garcia, about a Lee Moriarty, you know, about many, many others in AEW. So what's going to differentiate you from everyone else that is getting the same exact compliments?
I don't want to go down that rabbit hole because that's the issue with AEW at the moment. They have very few personalities that connect with the audience. They have a ton of guys that can go in the ring, and that's not an issue for them. They got a stacked roster full of them. They need guys. It's an old adage. I know we say it. We preach it all the time here, and it's, you know, until we're blue in the face. Here's where you make your money. Here's where you make your money. Not out there. Not out in the, you know, in the four, between the four ropes. You know, it's, yes, obviously you have to be able to go there, but quick question for you. What was Hulk Hogan's big move?
The leg drop. The of doom.
There you go. Putting the hand to the ear.
the big boot.
The pose. Yeah.
Thank you, brothers. That's I always like that at the end. Finish the posing. Thank you, brothers.
If you come up with something that good. Have you seen his stuff in Japan?
Yes. It's phenomenal.
He can go. He can really go. He'd shock you. He'd shock a lot of this generation who never saw any of those tapes. It's on VHS, so it's hard to convert over. But, you know, and then he came over here and he realized, you know what? I don't have to beat up my body like that anymore. If it works, it does. It works for now. It won't work for everybody, but, you know.
Secular Belt says, George, if you think Final Countdown is good, you don't get to say what's bad. I like Final Countdown, but I also like the put down, so I'm gonna go on the team of Secular Belt here.
I remember on VH1 they had like top 20 worst music videos of all time, and that was like number one.
We also got Tutgraph saying Jimmy is a much better fantasy booker than a jobber.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. So I
got my fantasy pen.
I will say that hopefully it clicks.
Where's the clicker for Mike Martin? This is for Mike Martin.
But we do have I want to say that I feel like Blackpool Combat Club and Cal's family have been feuding forever, and I think I'm ready for them to bury the hatchet one way or the other. I don't know, when Takeshita came out, I kind of rolled my eyes. I'll be honest, I was like, I thought we were over. I thought we were done with this.
It's funny that we complain a lot about their long-term storylines, and they don't book long-term. Everything's very run through quickly. And this one's still going on, and we're still complaining because there's no real substance to it.
Yeah, it's kind of lost its flair. I want to say also, though, Jeff Cobb, if you saw Jeff Cobb and you enjoyed what he was doing, I'm a big fan of Jeff Cobb. I thought he looked really good today. He's actually going to be wrestling on Prestige Wrestling tomorrow. I'll be on the call for that as he takes on Gailano Del Mal. So that is going to be a good one on IWTV. Check that out. He's awesome. Let's move on to...
They need to bring in Jeff Cobb's brother. Dario Cueto.
Oh, that's right. Dario Cueto. That's a little Lucha Underground for you. Dario Cueto, one of my favorite GMs of all time, by the way. Hot take, just me personally. So the Elite, we get a video package of what happened at New Japan Resurgence to explain why Eddie Kingston is out of their Anarchy in the Arena match. FTR says they may have a partner to take Eddie Kingston's place. Young Bucks also cut a promo, and they then have a match with Matt Sydal and Christopher Daniels. Of course, the Bucks get the win. After the match, the Bucks fire Christopher Daniels, and Jack Perry dumps a Woo energy drink on Tony Schiavone. Woo, get it at a store near you. Send me a check, Tony. Come on, I'm promoting the products. No, George, I get the Anarchy in the Arena is a double or nothing match, and you got to have teams for this, and these teams make most sense. But I kind of feel after this week, seeing them fire Christopher Daniels, I feel like you could let this cook for a little bit before you have a big team blow off. What about you, George?
I think so too. I mean, I the match was great. I'm digging the storyline. Again, it just goes back to the execution. Even with like Jack Perry, he talks too much. I feel like he would get more done if he was on commentary and just sit back, then cross his arm and just sit back and be like, you know, I'm not going to do anything you need me to do, because less is more. You want to know what the most memorable part of that segment was? When he dumped that energy drink on Tony. He's like, that was classic. Yeah. That was phenomenal. That's why I said, like, less is more. Like, don't ruin the mystique that you have by, like, saying too much, because that can happen a lot. But yeah, with that said, I think it's got a lot of legs. I'm hoping that it kind of builds up to something. Obviously, I don't think they're going to fire Chris Daniels forever. Maybe it's going to lead up to something. Maybe something with Matt Seidel. You know, it's got legs. It's just a matter of, let's see what they're going to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Jimmy, what say you?
No, it's very interesting that maybe some other EVP will bring him back in some form or fashion. Mm-hmm. Because that's what looked like they're building towards. But I agree with you, Jack. This thing should be dragged out a little. Not dragged out. Not the story should take longer to be told, because there's a lot of legs to this thing. There's a lot of layers they can put to it. And it feels like a lot of things that they do, they just rush right through. It's like, okay, mashed potatoes, let's go. Just mash them up and throw it out there. Yeah. Let's go and get it done and over with next. And that's how it feels. And as far as Jack Perry goes, to your point, George, it almost feels like he was stepping all over everybody too. If Taz was still good to go, it almost felt like Taz would have leaned over and put him in a rear naked choke, and like, shut up. You're talking too much. Don't do it. You know, but here's a story that has legs, but they're going to chop them off by doing a match that should be a payoff match at the pay-per-view that's coming up next week.
I feel like if I was writing this story, what you'd want is for them as a team and with their power to sort of one by one pick people off. And then after everyone's been beaten one-on-one, that's when the Avengers come together and go, you know what? We can't do this alone, but if all of us come together, we can fight the Elite. And you have that big kind of comeback moment instead of them just going, well, here's our team. Like, oh, okay. Well, I feel like we just jumped to the end. It's like the Avengers all just went from like the first Iron Man movie right into the Avengers instead of, having them come together and try to see that they can't do it alone. And that story that goes there. I'm going to say I disagree with everybody, by the way. I think Jack Perry has been phenomenal. I loved him. Him dumping the Woo energy drink available at a store near you is was one of the, I totally popped for that moment. I think he's coming off like a total jerk. And I think this is the best Jack Perry's been. And I'm not saying he's a world champion guy yet, but I think after some time, he's going to be a big deal if he keeps this up. I love it. I love Jack Perry.
Yeah, he's a dastardly heel that people don't like for all the right reasons. And dumping the drink on Tony Schiavone, I better not say it. I don't want to get through. Oh, heck, I'm going to say it. You know, it was so nasty, you'd almost wash the dye out of it. So, but that, anyways, I'll leave it there.
I only want to mention it just because he was shown very briefly in that segment with Eddie Kingston in the New Japan. Gabriel Kidd is a freaking stud. That guy's going to go places in this business. I just want to say that.
I want to say, by the way, I do want to hit on that because I like to give flowers when we can. We've talked about how they need to explain certain things better. Mm-hmm. And I felt like, Jimmy, this was like, I got to give them when we say like we need to understand things or you need to show, this is exactly what we're talking about. At least what I'm talking about. You showed me the video. You made everyone look great in the process. You caught me up completely. It was a perfect win-win for everyone involved. I love the video that they showed.
How simple is it? It's almost like we've been preaching this, you have as well, Jack, for how long now? Show a little vignettes. Give us a backstory. Tell us why things are happening as opposed to, oh, this is what happened, let's next, and go right into it. It's almost like when they do debut new talent, they expect everybody to know what happened. You know, it got out in the sheets that he got injured. But show it to us. Let us see it. Let us, and makes it mean that much more.
Yeah. And I think because it not only then made me go, oh, this is why he's gone, I understand why, but it also kind of made the Elite and Jack Perry look better. They went to another company and they were jerks there too. Like, also it showed that you're not safe wherever. I don't know. It just made everything look great. It caught us up. It was story. It was, that would be my aid. Please, do that more often. Do it all the time. I love it.
Please.
And it's like not even, you just take the video clip. It's great. Yeah. I want to shout out Ebony Washington here. Always good to see you, Ebony. Says, late to the party, but I have to put over both Jimmy and George's shirts. Truly appreciate your commentary. You guys are awesome. Have a great night. Thank you, Ebony. That's so kind of you. Job Squad shirts, not sure if they're still available. Jack Farmer shirts are available. Hit me up on @RealJackFarmer.
Hold on. Let me call Al right now and find out if he's...
Are you going to have them available at Prestige tomorrow?
I don't know if I'm going to have them available at Prestige. I might just sell them online because I'm usually pretty... I don't have time to work the merch booth when I'm working. That's the problem. A lot of prep. We'll see. You should be there at Prestige anyways, though. Find out. Maybe I will.
It's Ohtani bobblehead night at the Dodger game tomorrow.
So you'll be at Prestige?
Yep.
Adam Copeland and the House of Black. Copeland gets leveled as soon as he walks out the door. Malachi takes Adam Copeland's wedding ring. Kyle O'Reilly tries to make the save, but gets destroyed in the process. For the House of Black, all hit Copeland at the same time. Later, Malachi Black alludes to the ring being a trinket for what is holding Copeland back. And at Double or Nothing, it'll be a barbed wire cage match. And if Black wins, then Copeland must bend the knee. George, with this, I love this segment. I thought that this brought a lot of interest to a lot of things. I will say, I had a thought, but I lost it. Oh, I'll give it to you. Here's what I was going to say is, the crowd was very upset with Malachi Black. In fact, they were chanting an F word at him throughout the show. Malachi Black has always been someone that I think the fans, they know what side of the fence he's on, but they still kind of liked him. This felt like the first time they're like, we don't like you in a good way.
Yeah.
Who's to credit for that? Do you credit how popular Adam Copeland is? Do you credit what Malachi Black's been doing? Do you credit the booking? Like, so clearly they're making that work.
I'm going to give you the cop-out answer. I credit all of them. Especially when you have somebody like Adam Copeland with the years of experience. And I feel like with somebody like him, he's not coming in to essentially like educate anybody or lecture anybody. He's kind of coming in to part knowledge. So you can sit there and say, hey, listen, like, he can sit there and say, I feel like you should do this because as popular as you are, people love you. What do you want? What's going to sell tickets? People that, you know, people being that tweener or legit getting heat. Cause once he got that wedding ring, I'm like, oh my God, like this is going to go to a place that, you know, is going to have people bring in, you know, bring butts into the seats. So yeah, I think all of the above. I think for somebody like Malachi, who was kind of off and on when it comes to like the last year of his AEW tenure, just like, is he there? Is he not there? Is he leaving? Is he not leaving? So I feel like now they're finally kind of going all in on Malachi and the House of Black, and rightfully so, because that is one tremendously talented dude. And especially with the way he, you know, was booked in NXT and, you know, toward the beginning of AEW, like he's somebody that I think you can put a lot of money and invest in.
Yeah, I think Malachi Black could be a massive star for them. Jimmy, I realized what I was going to say is I think the ring is awesome. I love how he says this is what's holding you back, implying like family, being a family man has been holding you back. If he wins, I guess my question for you is obviously that means I feel like something from the family has to play into this somehow. But I don't know. Obviously, you think Beth is the person, but I don't know, how do you think she could be involved in this if that is the thing? And Malachi has to win, right? Because when you have these kind of stakes where Copeland gets nothing if he wins, Malachi Black gets something if he wins, Malachi Black has to win, right? Like,
you would think so, that's for sure. It seems to be setting up that way, especially the way the story is being told, and that personal touch with him taking the wedding ring and I was worried that he was going to swallow it. You know what I mean? Like some kind of demon-esque kind of thing, but he put it in his pocket and, you know, this is what's holding you back. And he's very cerebral in his delivery too. So I think like George said, that's part of the entire package, making it, you know, if he was at one time, one of those heels that people kind of enjoyed, like you said, George or Jack, that he, you know, people were like, oh, this is kind of cool what he's doing. Now he's getting to go, oh, you SOB, you know, and Edge being as lovable as he was, a big baby face. So it's working all, they're hitting on all cylinders here. I'm curious to see where it's going to go. Will Beth get involved in some form or fashion? If she does, I would think she would have to bring somebody with her.
Yeah.
You know, because she's not going to fight off three big guys. So now the question is,
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Probably good, yeah. You know, nothing like a woman scorned, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think if someone could do it, I think Beth could handle it. But
and I know you mentioned too, where you know you have a situation where you know Malachi has to win or whatnot, dude. If the story's good, there are no losers.
That's right. That's fair. Mm-hmm. I can't write the. I always say I hate when people fantasy book, and here I am doing it.
But the other thing I liked about the ending, the way it ended. They laid him out. And what did Edge do? He stayed out. Down. Are you watching Orange Cassidy? Sorry, I had to throw it in.
He got hit by three guys. So there's the thing.
Oh.
But yeah, I get your point. I get what you're saying. Yeah, it makes it feel like a bigger deal. And I'm very fascinated to see where this goes. I kind of hope Malachi Black wins just because I think that him as the TNT champion would be awesome to see. Mm-hmm. And I think it'd be interesting to see Adam Copeland have to answer to the House of Black.
Go to a dark place to do it.
Yeah.
Yes.
My words exactly.
Jay Willie says, isn't Beth under WWE contract? She might be, actually. I don't know.
Might be under a Legends deal or something like that.
Yeah, so that's absolutely true. And King Kia says, isn't the story here that Copeland goes dark and takes over House of Black? They hinted at it with O'Reilly last week. I don't know if he takes over, but he does seem to be having, you know, being acting different and all that kind of stuff.
Can you imagine after Christian, if Christian loses to Swerve, which I anticipate is going to happen, maybe a reformation of the Brood in some form or fashion?
I know Copeland said that he was trying to put the Brood back together for last year, or at least have Gangrel back in. But
My goodness, that would be not only if he lost to Malachi Black, and now he needs backup. It's Adam Copeland, Christian Cage, and
Gangrel
against the House. I love it. Let's go.
They have the entrance stage for it with that they use for Okada.
Yeah, I hope. I don't care what it costs. Even it's like a WWE owned game. Get the music. I don't care if you got to pay $1 billion for it. Get the music, and that music was so good. The Brood music.
Yeah.
Wow. I can't make the sound myself, but you know how it went.
Quick story here. When the Brood got laid out by Kane, and Kane, I happened to be the referee for the match, of course.
Yeah.
And Kane went, laid them all out with the choke slam, piled them on top of each other, went to get the gasoline and the blowtorch.
Yeah.
And I went to go stop him. Of course, I get choke slammed and dragged on top of the pile. So I don't know what they had in the can there, but Kane thought, I guess he thought it would be funny to sprinkle the gas all over my, that cold gas over my yam bags. I was like, and I'm like laying there going, okay, you can't move. You can't move. Oh my God, that's so cold. And when I got to the back, he knew exactly right away. He was laughing.
Do you have stories like that in your book?
I don't know if that one in particular is in there, but there are a bunch that aren't in there.
It sounds like you need a follow-up to your book. You four count. Book.
Maybe.
The four count.
Yeah.
Well, there's other counts. You could do the five count, and then there's the
10 count.
The 10 count. Yeah.
You can do the King Kong Bundy. The Bundy.
Yeah.
We got a promo from Tony Storm up against Harley Cameron. And then we have Tony Storm versus Harley Cameron. Second week in a row for Harley Cameron. So good for her, becoming the workhorse of the women's division. Serena Deeb watches from the stage. Storm gets the win here. Jimmy, this was one. I think it's Harley Cameron getting TV time. Let's go. Love it. Tony Storm, we sing her praises regularly, but every week she blows me out of the water how she has this character just locked in. And it is the characters write, but also like the verbiage and like the things she said, like the word choice is so good. She never stutters. She never misses a beat. It's just, it's delivered. She is so in tune with this character.
She absolutely is. She's embraced it. That's why she feels it. And you can tell that she enjoys doing this character. Maybe it's a little bit of her coming out, because maybe that's something she likes, like that old school movie deal, but she's really, really entertaining, and she's gravitating. The audience is gravitating towards everything she does on the television when they do the black and white screen. It's even still, that's been how many months now where she's been doing it? People are still going, that's the coolest thing ever. So she's connecting, and that's the biggest thing. And then her in-ring work is, they had a great match.
Yeah.
The match was good.
Yeah, I thought this was a real highlight of the night, George. Again, Toni Storm. Thoughts on anyone involved here, Harley Cameron, Toni Storm, or Serena Deeb. Again, I got to echo, because it doesn't sound like Toni Storm is reciting lines. She sounds like she's just talking. But again, she's using words people don't normally say anymore. And every time she does a promo, it feels like she unearths another old phrase or something. They're like, oh my God, that's one of those old phrases I haven't heard since the 40s, because I lived that long.
It's mind boggling to me, because you have like a lot of these, and going on what I said earlier about Kyle Fletcher, whether that's the promoter's fault, whether it's the wrestler who just wants to be a good wrestler out there and wants to be a badass wrestler. But then you look at Toni Storm, you look at Broken Matt Hardy when that first was a thing. You look at, you know, Bray Wyatt and The Fiend, just how much they embrace that character and are willing to think out of the box, and how rewarding it was at the end. I mean, these guys are like literally the most, like when I think of great characters, I immediately go to those people. And even now you have Toni Storm, where she's clearly like, and there's like, she's number one and there's like a distant number two. Yeah, I cannot. I sound like a broken record, just consistently praising Toni Storm. I like that they're giving Harley Cameron a shot. She's got a lot of personality. I feel like she can go very far, just because I heard her like on Jericho's podcast, and I know she was doing that QTV back in the day. She's and I mean this in a very, very good way. So I apologize if it comes off as the opposite, but she can get on your nerves with like her tone of voice, but I know she does it on purpose, because she knows that that can get heat and that can get people talking. So I feel like they can go a lot more with that. You know, her facials are great. I like her when she's in those promos with Soraya. She always finds a way to stand out. So I really think that she's got a lot of a good path in front of her.
Yeah, Harley is a phenomenal singer too, by the way. Mm-hmm. For anyone. Mm-hmm. No, she actually has a really good voice. So hopefully we get to see more of her as well. Yeah, a lot of stuff. Hopefully it's. I feel like we sound contradicting, where we're like, you got to slow things down, take more time. But there's so many people I want you to get on TV at the same time. It is kind of contradicting, but it's also true at the same time. You know,
It's the one. It's the one critique we have every the 20 and 10. You know, 20 pounds of potatoes in a 10 pound bag. I know. Sometimes, you know, some guys have to suck it up, and you're not going to be on TV every week. You know, that's just the deal.
But even so, even if you got 3, 5, 10 seconds of TV time, how do you maximize those? I mean, Chelsea Green's a perfect example of just somebody who knows how to maximize every single second of when she's on TV. I'm going to ramble for a quick 30 seconds. I don't know if you've ever seen, like, there was a sketch of like SNL, I feel like 30 years ago, of like Chris Farley, Adam Sandler, where he's playing like a pepper boy. And like Chris Farley has like one line or two lines, but it's the most memorable line. Like it wasn't even about him, but like it just goes to show that like you got to sit there and find ways to get over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's that was only 18 seconds, but I always say that Lucha Underground, I thought, was so good at how they did this, where because they only had an hour, but they had a big roster too. Mm-hmm. And I always said they had a cadence though, where you'd see someone like every three shows, and that's not as often as like some people being on every show or whatever, but because you'd get used to that cadence, then when someone was gone for 2 weeks, you wouldn't think, what happened to this person? You'd kind of get used to like, oh, this is sort of how the flow is. Now, I think they did it because they taped three episodes, you know, in one day, but like, then you'd kind of get into that, like, oh, you'll see the world champion once, and then they don't come back for 2 weeks. That's just kind of how it goes, where with AEW, sometimes it's very, this person's here, they're gone for 2 months, then they're on for 5 weeks in a row, then they're gone for a month. And it's kind of like, where is, as opposed to some people are on all the time, if there's like a cadence to it, kind of like a song where you've got a beat, like, okay, I know that this is, there's a structure to it. So I can kind of understand that. Okay, Toni Storm is on this week. She probably won't be on next week, but she'll be on 2 weeks from now or something like that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and really quickly, just to answer to Tuckraff over there, there's a lot of eyes on these, on those potatoes. That's not the potatoes we're talking about. The potatoes in the bag are the actual talent. We need potatoes in the audience too.
I was smiling because I feel like you could take that the wrong way. The eyes are on the potatoes.
Yeah.
But we got Hook.
Maybe I did take it the wrong way. I don't know.
Hook is has a match with Sebastian Wolf, local talent, good wrestler. It's a quick one. Hook gets the win. He calls out Jericho after the match. Jericho comes out and says it's a teachable moment. Shout out Chase U.
He said teaching moment, because I thought the same thing, that I wonder if that's why he didn't say teachable moment.
Yeah, I felt like he was lean. I don't know how much he had planned. It felt like he started going down that route, and it felt like he kind of caught himself. I was like, I got to adjust this. But in any case, he said this teaching moment. He wants Hook to earn his shot, so he'll do that on Saturday. Hook just bops Jericho on the head with the microphone before Big Bill beats up Hook until Shibata comes out to make the save. Later, we get a promo where Hook says he'll do whatever it takes to get a shot at Jericho. Shibata says he wants a shot at Jericho. And Samoa Joe says, you guys are getting played. Jimmy, I think the most important question to ask is, tell me all about Samoa Joe's shirt.
I wish I could. I don't know. But I wouldn't question him on his wardrobe, but no. That's for sure.
No. I just made the joke because Shibata made the joke during the show. But I thought... I'm curious with this, and the fact that I like how Joe, who's famously manipulative, is calling out to these guys that Jericho is manipulating them. Yeah. What are your thoughts on this whole situation?
But that's what good heels do. They're the pot calling the kettle black.
Yeah.
That's what they do. They stir the pot, and that's what he's doing here. I just like to see a little bit more. I know people are saying, well, you know, Hook is this guy. He's a tough guy, and he fights from underneath because he's a little bit undersized, but he can handle it and handle himself. But still, you need some personality. Somebody needs to sit him down and say, look, there's a way we can work in your tough guy persona, but able to articulate it as well. He needs to be able to articulate it with his words and his facial expressions. He's kind of monotone and mono-faced, if that makes any sense whatsoever. And that, I think that's the one thing he's lacking. And it needs to work on that. And, you know, sometimes, yes, you are the tough guy, but at times with that big size difference, like if he's going to end up working with someone like a Big Bill, you're going to have to sell your butt off for that guy. And then, you know, fight from underneath to get that win. So he's going to, he needs those little things, I think, but I think Daddy can teach him really well if he listens to Dad.
I did love how he tried to suplex Big Bill, George, and he couldn't do it. And I have a feeling they're going to tease that a number of times. And eventually, my hope is he fails multiple times, but eventually when he gets Big Bill over, the place is going to lose it.
Yeah. I mean, it's all about making things matter. You know, it's really easy to do especially if you're in there, you know, if you kind of come in and start cleaning house, you know, that's going to mean nothing. But if he just tries and tries and tries, I mean, at some point, you know, we gotta, you know, gather the energy, right? This goes back to the same, criticism I had of Jack Perry with Hook, less is more. I think he's trying to do too much when he's not capable to do as much, especially with the tone. He's just got to come out there and say, listen, I want that belt. It's a family heirloom. Like, you know, cause honestly, like that belt means nothing in the terms of professional wrestling world. I know it's for the world, but you know, if they kind of explain why it means so much to that Taz family, then maybe we can get behind it. So if he sits there and comes out and says, you know what, you have something that belongs to me. You have something that belongs to my family. You don't know when, you don't know how, but I'm going to get it back. That's it. That's all he's got to do.
You just blew up. Is Taz his last name? I always thought it was his first name.
Yeah,
does that mean his name is Hook Taz?
Hook Taz.
Hook Taz.
Right? You know, kind of like Cesaro, like you said earlier. Yes. You know? His first name's Antonio.
I can't believe I messed that up. I'm such a stickler for people getting the current names too.
Yeah, and you know the guy, the longest reigning Intercontinental champion. You know his full name? Walter Gunther.
I thought it was Gunther Walter. And they learn something new every day.
Maybe. Yeah, like I said, less is more. Just come out there and say, you know, give it one line. You know, you don't know when I'm coming. But I'm gonna get that back. That's it. That's all you got to do. But I get they wanted to have the, you know, the whole shebang with the microphone. I guess you cut him in the back of his head or something like that. But
look,
he hit him so funny, like boop.
You know what? It was, George. If I may, it looked like what's the piece that goes around the mic? The logo display.
Oh, the mic flag.
The flag. I think that's what caught him.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. In any case, it looked the visual. He like bopped him on the head. Like it was just a funny visual. We get Swerve Strickland, a video package of all the things Swerve has been up to as the champion on news sites and everything. And then, of course, caught us up with what's going on with Christian and Brian Cage. We also get a promo from Swerve backstage. The match happens. Brian Cage versus Swerve Strickland. It's a fight. Of course, champ gets a strong win. After the match, Swerve makes Cage pay for his betrayal until Christian comes out, distracts Swerve long enough for Nick Wayne to hit Swerve in the Giggleberries, the baby makers, the trouser tackle. See, now if you listen to the Monday, you'd know that we prepared for how to call these things. You got to listen to all the shows, folks. We have a long list of names for these things. But in any case, Wayne busts open Swerve, and Christian reminds us what Swerve did to Nick Wayne. Christian says this week he's taking Swerve's blood. Next week, I'm taking your championship. George, Swerve was very popular in his home state, and I got a strong win. And Christian is just so good. And I want to see this match. I feel like this is with all due respect, kind of a throwaway defense, but it is not a throwaway defense at the same time. Like, I want to see it.
Yeah, Christian's got such a presence about him that he just has this heel aura that just, you know, exemplifies just heat all around them. And I love that aspect of it. The only thing I question is, why was this not the main event? I know the reason why it wasn't the main event, but what do you want to give this more of a spotlight to, right? Like the world champion or, you know, and we'll get into that a little bit later, but like, what are you trying to do mostly?
I can answer that from a story perspective. Okay. This was non-title. The other one was. So if this was the world champion, though.
I know. I still don't get the idea of having to defeat your world champion in order to get a shot at the world champion.
Oh yeah, that's
a whole other question.
Yeah, that's another Robin Hood. Because like, I mean, I know it's a little unfair to compare to Austin The Rock, but he was never in the middle of the show. They were always in the main event, even if it was a non-title match.
I mean. No. Yeah, I get you. It's I agree with you. I think that Swerve should be in the main event every time. Most times.
Like he should be the guy that people want to look forward to the most, and no disrespect, if he's not that guy, then don't put the championship on him. Give it to the guy that people want to, you know, you can actually have him in a position where, "Oh man, I got to stay tuned to the end of the show because I want to see my world champion."
Jack. Or worst case scenario, put him on first.
Yeah,
those are the two biggest spots on the show.
I think he absolutely is that guy. I think they're looking at how the show ended. But I agree with you. I guess I'm saying I get why they did it, but I agree with
or
what you're saying.
I don't know what they're trying to do, but save that other ending for Collision. Give people to tune in to Collision. And if you missed it, then you know what? Damn, I can't believe I missed Collision. I saw that great moment.
So you're trying to tell people that the big surprise coming at the end is bigger than their world champion.
My point exactly.
So yeah, but I think Swerve, very popular in there. You could hear, of course, hometown. So of course he's, well, Everett's not Washington, it's Everett. But we have I think he's great. I love that, Jimmy, I always like to talk to you about the video package stuff because I feel like we go over it all the time on all the shows we're on. Mm-hmm. I love that they're showing that Swerve is like on news channels and doing media rounds. I feel like that makes him seem like such a big deal.
Right, they make him seem like a big deal in those video packages. And like we just talked about, the show itself doesn't make him feel like a big deal. Mm-hmm. Yes, he gets the grand entrance and that sort of thing, but it's positioning in the show. It feels like he's being overshadowed by what comes afterwards and what comes at the end of the show, and that's the part I don't like. I thought for a second there, the way they were shooting it too, I thought they were going to do the one-shot walk through their gorilla position and out on the stage and go, oh, but they stopped it right there and just switched camera angles and that was it. But yeah, that's the only thing. And the other thing about this match, they had a slobber knocker, that's for sure. And the angle that preceded it at the, not preceded, that concluded at the end to set up this story even more with Christian, the Canadian heat magnet. I bow to him. I'm going to send him my cup soon. Again, it was well done. And I thought just the match may have been a little bit too long. It didn't need to go that long, in my opinion.
I think my biggest takeaway from this, what I would have, if we are critiquing, is they were in his home, in Swerve's home state. I wish he cut that promo live in front of the audience. I think that's one of those things where let them hear him, because they would have gone nuts for him. I think they would have absolutely loved him doing that, and it would have looked cool. It would have sounded cool. When you have someone who's as popular as Swerve in his home state, give the people what they want. Let them walk out there. And I think that would actually have even made the ending thing hit even harder after getting to see him live and in person for that. But it is what it is. Ospreay and Roderick Strong cut a promo, and it was a heater of a promo. I really love this one. Ospreay says he doesn't respect Strong. Strong says Ospreay's smart in the ring, but dumb outside of it. George, I think this is one of the best backstage promos that we've seen from AEW in a very, very, very long time. I thought both guys were intense. Both guys had good words. I loved where they went with it. Also, I love that they did some new kind of camera angles with like kind of twisting the camera.
I noticed that too.
What were your thoughts here?
That each person was very convincing in what they wanted to get across. I thought it was excellent. I thought it was probably the best in-ring work or mic work that I've seen Will Ospreay do since coming to AEW. It kind of shows like maybe, you know, this is what, you know, he's more than just somebody that can go in the ring. I can't even call it criticism, just because it was so good. I would have, like you said before, I would have liked to have seen this not in the ring, but maybe like a top of the entrance way, like Nitro used to do back in the day, with something like that. Cause I would have liked to seen something like, you know, maybe in front of a crowd. Not that weird crowd, not that weird angle with the audience in the background, but more so like exactly like I said, like Nitro used to do back in the day. It was very, very good from both guys, especially Ospreay.
Jimmy, I thought this was a good one. What was your takeaway though?
Okay, here's where I'm going to get lambasted again. I thought what he said, Will Ospreay said, was fine. It was his delivery that I wasn't very big on.
Many rubs.
No, it's just that when he went on, he started talking like this and everything was coming out so fast that you couldn't make sense of what he was saying because everything was coming out like this and you couldn't see. You know what I mean? There was no levels. There was no, you know, layers of intensity. When Roderick Strong started speaking, he started off kind of slow, but then he ramped it up in levels, and he had a tone and a cadence when his speaking where you went, he means business. Whereas, you know, Will was just going on and on and on and on, and trying to remember one word he said in that promo.
Yeah, it's bruv.
Bruv.
That was the only word. Other than that, everything else was a constant yada, 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 yada right through. And that's
like a run-on sentence.
Yeah, pretty much. Put some inflection. Stop. Make one little pause every once in a while so people can go, ooh, ah. Even if you're taking a shot at him or you're just giving him the gears, whatever it is. And that was the only issue I had. It wasn't what he said. It was how he said it.
The Mike Martin saying Strong is the newer Dean Malenko. I was a huge Dean Malenko fan, so I assume that is a compliment. We got Adonde saying Nitro ramp promos were fire. Nitro, I mean, they had those WCW, metal signs behind them. What do you call that type of metal with the little surface? I can't remember what it was called, but you know what I'm talking about. Just
yeah,
Chef's kiss.
You know what they should have left on their stage permanently was the entranceway of Shockmaster and just leave it there.
They should have started making their entrance through that. Yeah. Like all the rest of us walk, everyone and walks drip. Through. Everyone trips through there.
I'm grateful for that Shockmaster thing because it created the greatest Ming or Haku clip of all time.
Oh, there it is. Yeah. Diamond plate. Diamond plate, exactly where I was thinking.
Thank you. That would have killed me. Because I don't even know how to Google that. Like, how do you Google, like, what do you call that kind of metal?
Sparkly metal. I don't know.
Diamond plate. Yes. By the way, diamond plate also sounds like what you'd make Captain America's shield out of, just by the name itself, you know? Like, it sounds like a fake Marvel thing. Like, this thing's unbreakable, made out of a special diamond plate or something. I don't
know. It's made out of vibranium, which is the strongest thing in the planet.
Mm-hmm. I'm in an universe, apparently. Well, we got Mercedes Moné and Willow Nightingale having a sit-down interview. And look, Mercedes did a good job, but Willow Nightingale, she is the all-star. I'm blown away every time I see her. And she had that line, Jimmy, the line where she says, "I walked out a champion. You didn't even walk out." Oh, my God. Willow Nightingale has won me over. Give her all the championships. Mm-hmm. She's the greatest. Put her in the AEW Hall of Fame already.
Right now, she is, as far as the battle of the words, she's outshining Mercedes Moné. And when she popped that line on her, I didn't see that anger in Mercedes Moné that I think should have seen. You needed to see more like fire, like, "Oh no, you didn't. You didn't go there," you know, that kind of thing. And Willow is just infectious. She just, you can't help but going, "Oh man, I'm just going to root for this girl."
Yes.
She's got that personality and it's clicking.
Yeah. George, when she put Mercedes to the table, like, I think a lot of us here on these shows have different strengths, you know. Jimmy obviously understands the rules and understands production and how things should be put together. You have a very strong historical knowledge base. I feel like my strength is I tap into that inner fan, that feeling that you get sometimes. When I've not had that feeling of like, I want this person to be successful, that I get with Willow Nightingale, that like she's got that more than anyone in a very long time. Like her putting through Mercedes to the table, I had a young childish like fandom like, "Yeah, get her." Like I was so excited for this. This is something I don't know how to quantify it, but Willow is something special.
True story. Whenever she comes out and she does a din 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 and she kicks the leg up.
Yeah.
I can't kick my leg up that high. So I always do the like a fist, but yeah, you know. Every single time. I it's such instinct now that I just like, and then just so I can kind of go along with the beat. First off, I want to praise Mercedes first because I feel like the heel turn is coming. But it's like a slow burn. So I'm not gonna sit there and talk about, "Oh, she's so bad on the mic." Like that's I feel like it's all being done on purpose. Because when she goes full heel, I think it's gonna change the landscape of the women's division, and I can't wait. With that said, with her being that heel, dude, what a great baby face to kind of counteract that heel. Like, I don't wanna say the same thing that everyone else is saying, but I'm gonna. Dude, Willow is just such a national treasure. She deserves every flower thrown at her. I think there's more of a story if she beats Mercedes, because I think it's going to escalate that heel persona, come out even more out of Mercedes. But I am very much so looking forward to this match at Double or Nothing.
Yeah, I think I really hope she does. I really want to see Willow win. Like I hope she wins. I think they're doing great.
My only thing is I hope she has some kind of, there should be something that she can sell, right? Whether it's a headband or like bracelet or something that people can buy. Cause I feel like once people kind of get something attached to that they can physically buy, oh man, I think she's going to be a millionaire.
Yeah. Now I'm trying to think of like obscure things that she could sell.
Yeah, like buddy bands or whatever that Saved by the Bell thing was, you know, back in the day.
Buddy friendship, bands, yeah. Friendship bracelets. get on an AEW merch. I'd buy one. We get to the end of the show. Dax Harwood takes on Okada for the Continental Championship. After an overrun, Okada gets the win. Post-match, the Elite come out and attack Dax. Then Cash and Danielson come out to make the save, but they're outnumbered. That's when Darby Allin returns to make the save. And Darby Allin is apparently superhuman, George, because he's ready to go again. He got hit by a bus last week, and here he is, ready to have a match. Darby Allin, indestructible.
Doesn't he have like a broken foot as well?
Diamond plate.
didn't he break his foot not too long ago as well?
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah.
I don't know if that was a shoot X-ray, but it looked like the there were actually four of his toes were broken and completely.
I don't know. I mean, he's got that superhuman strength. I already kind of mentioned my thoughts on what should be what should have closed the show. My only beef, and please tell me I'm wrong. I get why Tony Khan said there's going to be a significant overrun, but I'd rather not know that because then I'm thinking like, oh well, this match is clearly going to go longer than 5-6 minutes. Like I don't even like the time when they have the countdown to like, oh, countdown to Swerve and Cage. Like I don't want to know that because I want to know that I like to know that the wrestling I'm watching is spontaneous, not pre-planned. Like, oh, we're now this match can't be this long because they got to cut it so it can go this. So I don't know. I that kind of took me out a little bit because I'm like, all right, well, this match isn't ending, and in the next 5 minutes, I know it's going to go a little bit longer because of the significant overrun that Tony Khan presented. There's another thing that kind of irks me, and this is so insignificant. This is so meaningless, but I hate it so much, and WWE does it as well. When they play somebody's music and they don't come through the entranceway, because what that tells me is like, how did you know that he was on the other side about to, and I don't know, little things like that just take me out of it. And I hate that it does that because I'm overthinking it. Because it happened last year with Kevin Owens as well, where like his entrance, his music hit, and then they come in from the opposite side. So who's cueing the music, and how did you know that they were going to come out at that exact time? It happened today, and it took me out, and I hate that it took me out because that is such a minuscule thing that I shouldn't get upset about.
Well, I got to say, I agree with you on the time thing on both accounts. I get if you say at one point, like at whatever, wherever your time zone is, at halfway through the show, Swerve Strickland will be here. I get that. But like when you have in 5 minutes, he's going to come out in the middle of a match. You're kind of like, so how do you know this match is done in 5 minutes? Even though I know, but don't rub it in my face that, and also I hated that they told us about the overrun earlier on. Cause then you're going into it like, okay, it takes some of the excitement away. Because when it naturally goes to the overrun, you get a little bit of that anxiety, like, oh my God, they're going long. What's going to happen?
Yeah.
I wish they kept it more natural in that way. And I would take it a step further with the entrance music. Jimmy, I want your thoughts. I don't think they should play it at all. I think that's
I thought that too.
I think it's a Justin LaBar thing also. That's like, don't play the music. You're supposed to be surprising everybody.
Right, because you lose the pop of him when he enters the ring and people see him. That's where you want the pop, not when the music hits. It's not like a Stone Cold situation where the glass breaks and the place will go nuts or something like that. We want a surprise here. We want to not see who it is. And like you guys said, I agree completely. This is a three-way agreement here that the music shouldn't have hit. That's for sure. But as far as the match goes, I thought it was good. I thought they had
a really, great.
Yeah, the match was like a banger, another banger. And again, the little things, like you said, with the time limit thing, all they had to do was announce it as, we'll stay with it as long as we can. And don't announce it 1 hour time limit, because when you say that, everybody goes, okay, yeah, whatever. Just say one fall to a finish, whatever you want to say, TV time remaining. And then you can say, well, we just got word that, this match will continue until we find it. We have a winner or something along those lines. Because it takes you right out of it. And people nowadays even know, oh, let's see, what time is it? Oh, there's only 5 minutes to 10. Oh, this ain't going to end.
Mike Martin says, do you want to pop the house or the TV audience? And I would say sometimes it gets both, because what happens, like my example would be, and this is clearly a big example, but when you look at Backlash in France and the crowd being loud, that pops everybody. And so if you get the crowd or the house to pop big, us at home feel like it's a big moment as well. So I get what you're saying. In my opinion, you guys can disagree with me, but I think that pop in the house can pop the folks at home as well in that case. Do you, do you guys agree? Are your thoughts on that?
I think so too. I know some of the, I sometimes I go through a phase on just on like a YouTube wormhole or even like going on Peacock where I'm like, I want to, I have a good memory when it comes to certain things, but I'm like, I want to go back and watch like the biggest pops that ever existed. So yeah, it is very infectious because I'm the one going back and watching the cool moments of professional wrestling. So yeah, if the crowd pops huge, I'm going to want to watch that. It's very, very like cool to kind of see that back. And I think things like that really live on for eternity.
Yeah, yeah. Mike says, yeah, but that's France, not Lexington, Kentucky. It wasn't Lexington. It was Everett, Washington.
Yes.
but going back to the match though, real quick, I like the finish. I love the finish because
you have
Okada who... by all means, one of the best wrestlers in the entire world, but he's a heel.
Yes.
Having to cheat and having to do that low blow before coming in and finishing him off. Things like that. Because Adam Cole did that too, where like, you know, he's loved as a heel, but just remember, like, he's a heel and he doesn't care what you think.
Right. And the thing I love most about it is I complain about the referee distractions all the time. This one was quick, simple.
Yeah.
And Okada got it in fast, went right to his finish, so it didn't have time for... He looked like he outsmarted the official. The official didn't have to turn his back for 30 seconds and play dumb and let all the heat go to him or her.
Speaking of heat, you know, Jimmy, I don't know if you caught this, but somewhere during this match, Okada, they're on the outside, he rolls to the inside, and he rolls back out.
Right.
And Taz and Tony Schiavone made it clear... that's so he could break the count for all those people who are sticklers for the rules. Some people are big sticklers for the rules. Jimmy, were they taking a shot at you? were they shooting at the Canadian heat magnet?
Well, if they were, the target's right here. Go right ahead. You know? Now, you know, but it's simple rules that need to be enforced in some form or fashion, or else why do you even bother having a referee in there? You know, put some AI guy in there to count three I don't know. What the heck? It's just, it's simple. And you see how simple it was when they're fighting on the outside? Do a couple of moves. Have the referee 7, 8, roll back in, roll back out, continue fighting outside until the next count gets to 8 or 9 or whatever the case may be.
Right.
It's simple.
Right. I agree. I just think I thought I heard that and I was like, man, just say his name. Why don't you? Just add him.
Say it.
No,
say it. These damn former officials.
I'm just teasing. This was a very, this was a fun show tonight, both after the show and during the show. Everyone in the chat, thanks so much for joining us. Tut Graf, Droy J, Mike Martin, Burner Account, Fernando, Beer Money. So many of you guys, thanks for coming through. Before we go, though, also, I want to give a shout out to Arkady, the backstage interviewer. I thought she did a bang up job in her chat with, she was, her facial expressions were great, but she wasn't taken away from anything. Also, I want to say Renee Paquette, her ringside ramp side before Dax came out, kind of like in sporting events, we're like, well, I just spoke to him backstage and he had this to say, kind of like before a sporting event. Love that. Cool stuff happened. But Jimmy, overall thoughts on the show and where can we find you online?
Overall thoughts, I thought all the in-ring stuff was actually very good tonight. I thought it was a good show overall. Little things that could have been tightened up, especially the pacing of the show. As we always say, it feels a little rushed and they didn't let things breathe and marinate. But, you know, hopefully someone is taking notes, not from me, from others, and and they can get that straightened out because I think it would help their product immensely. That's just my opinion.
Why not from you? Jimmy?
Okay.
You wrote the book.
So, but other than that, like I said, I thought from an in-ring perspective, I thought it was a very good show. And where you can find me, obviously here on Wednesday nights with you guys, we look like the trio that's going to be sticking for a while, and Triple J on Mondays after Raw. and every once in a while pinch hitting elsewhere, which is kind of cool. And you can catch the Roughing It Up podcast with my good brother in stripes, Brian Hebner, and I, and RJ, where this week Shannon Moore joins us. And who knows, you might get a little more Corderas karaoke in the process. And of course, my Roughing It
Get up, on your feet.
I want to hear this.
No, three count. We like Britney Spears. No, I forgot it. We like the Backstreet Boys. Britney Spears. Is kind of cute. We like TRL on MTV. Everybody, three count. One, two, three. I gotta watch.
You're gonna do the. We're gonna get you guys to do the theme song for our podcast. That's gonna be great. And of course, my riff and rents from Monday to Friday every morning on my social media platforms. Again, just little critiques to help tighten the screws, and maybe somebody is listening and will maybe use the advice or not. We'll see.
Well, I always love your ref and reviews. George, where can world find you online, and any final thoughts on this week's event?
Real quick, at least I'll try. Instead of the final thoughts, I'm going to just rant for like a quick second, just because the big story coming out of the last week was that spot that Orange Cassidy did. We saw Bubba Ray get very passionate about the lack of selling. There was some chatter in terms of like, oh, well, they did it 20 years ago when Undertaker tombstone JBL on steel steps and JBL got up after like a minute. Just because it happened 20 years ago doesn't mean it was okay 20 years ago. And I'm sure there was maybe some instances where like, hey, like, why'd you get up? Why didn't you sell more?
I get it. But how long did it take JBL to get up? JBL, a big man. Mm-hmm. JBL's a big man. Orange Cassidy is not quite JBL.
Yeah.
And not only did he take the steel steps, he also took the slingshot into the frame, steel frame of the ring, and got up 10 seconds later.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big difference.
But yeah, if you want to tell me that I'm wrong, you can tell me at G Hermosa, G H E R M O Z A, on all social media. You can follow me channel on the Wrestling Chatter YouTube channel, on social media, TW Chatter as well. And I won't be here next week. I'm taking a 1 week hiatus. Yeah, that's it.
I
unfortunately I will not be here next week, but I will severely miss you guys.
That's interesting. I too will not be here next week. Oh. So you can find me, by the way, at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. Tomorrow I'm going to be calling the action for Prestige Wrestling. As mentioned, we're gonna have Shelton Benjamin versus Filthy Tom Lawler. We're also gonna have Alex Shelley versus Timothy Thatcher, and of course Jeff Cobb, who I mentioned earlier, against Galeno Del Mal, plus so many more. Lots of other folks going to be there. It's going to be available on IWTV streaming live. Check that out. You can hear me talking over all this stuff, but I won't be here next week because I'm going to be calling the action for Santino Brothers. Their show, their all-female show, is going to be going on. I'm going to be calling the action for that on Fight TV, so you can check that out. But don't worry, I'll still be on Monday, and I'll be back on Wednesdays after that. I'm not going anywhere. Also, because of the huge success of Backlash and our after show and all the people who tuned in, you did me proud, you made me happy. We're going to be doing an after show for King and Queen of the Ring and Double or Nothing next weekend, and I'm going to be covering both of them. So you're going to get a double dose of Jack Farmer with Flobo Boyce. It's going to be a fun pairing where we go over way too much wrestling over the course of 2 days, but it'll be a good time anyway. So check that out. Burner Count says the chat did not approve anyone's PTO, George.
I'll be here next week.
About this. Yeah, check me out. IWTV tomorrow. Sorry, TNA. No. We're not going to watch you. We're going to watch Jack on Prestige. So check that out. It'll be a good show. And you can also check out my shirt on George here. You can buy one. It's at Real Jack Farmer. I'm glad you wore that. I literally today I put it on my note. I got to put it on my website so you can buy it because it's not up right now. But that'll go up soon. So thank you guys so much. That does it for us. Make sure to follow at Wrestling Inc. for all your latest wrestling news. Make sure to check out our After SmackDown show. And make sure to follow all three of us, Canadian Heat Magnet, George Hermosa, Jack Farmer. We're done. I'm clicking end stream.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.